Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
If you're about to make a change in your life and you feel uncomfortable, that's the best feeling you can have. Because for the first time in your life, you're making a decision that's going to be best for you and not what somebody told you to do. And that's when all bets are off.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Our theme is there's no perfect time to start following your dreams. I recognize that we all have different definitions of success. For you, it may be the size of your paycheck. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own.
Keep winning.
My guest is the executive director of the Student Freedom Initiative, and his title gets bigger as we go along. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, the president, Chief Executive Officer of Student Freedom Initiative, Dr. Mark Brown. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Rashawn. How are you doing?
First of all, I've been trying to get you for a while, sir. It's some people need your conversations on my airwaves.
Well, we're more than happy to share.
Well, you know, let's talk about you. Let's give us some background on you, Dr. Mark Brown.
All right. So I am, as you said, right now, the president and CEO of Student Freedom Initiative, which is a nonprofit based out of Washington, that focuses on HBCUs. But, you know, my journey started at an HBCU. I'm a product of Tuskegee Institute turned Tuskegee University.
Yes, sir.
Down in Alabama, where I went through the ROTC program and would go on to serve 32 years in the Air Force, retiring as a major general. After that, I was appointed by the Secretary of Education to be the Chief Operating Officer of Department of Education, which is what controls all the free application for federal student aid, the student loan portfolio, those kinds of things. It was there that I met Robert F. Smith, who is the chairman, founder, and CEO of Vista Equity, but also the chairman of our board, Student Freedom Initiative, and I look forward to talking to you about that and what we've been doing.
Well, tell us a little bit more about him. You know, I've read about him, and he did some an amazing academic contribution to Morehouse a couple of years ago. Can you talk about that?
That's exactly right. So he was a graduation speaker at Morehouse College. And Robert, during that speech, I think surprised a lot of folks. He promptly announced that he was going to put a little bit of help to those students that were about to graduate by paying off all of their student loans. When he did that, there were about 400 young men in the class of 2019. It was about a $38 million check. But he did it all. He paid all of their student loans, their parent plus loans. There was no Student Freedom Initiative at the time. As I said, I was over the Department of Education. We had a $1.7 trillion student loan portfolio. About one third of that was bad debt, delinquent, defaulted, overrepresented by people of color. Robert pulled the Morehouse College students out of that group, paid their loans, and he continues to mentor that class of 2019 today.
Now, what was that dollar amount again? What was that dollar amount?
About $38 million.
Yes, sir. Just get you know, add it up right now. I was if you had it wrong, I was going to have to correct you because I'm going to just tell you a little bit of background about HBCUs. You know, you can have academic success, but if you owe money, you can't walk. You can't walk.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know that's that right. in some of these debts are like very, very, it could be like $100, $500. Right. So they can be right. that low, you know, but these students are struggling and they need these debts paid off. And so the fact that he made that moment, it did change a lot of lives because these students on that 2019 graduating class, it was 2019, he changed their lives. And what we need is more of that happening, because what's happening, and you can speak on this, Dr. Mark Brown, is that because of DEI, especially with HBCUs, are under attack, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. While we know that the facts show that HBCUs have contributed more doctors, more military officers, more veterinarians, more lawyers of color to the nation than all of the other schools that that exist to do those same kinds of things. So they have done more than carry their weight as an entity, and they've done so in many, in most cases, with less resources.
Well, you know,
and Robert saw that.
Yeah, you know, that. I always like to, you know, throw out my information to Dr. Mark Brown.
Yeah,
75% of the dentists and doctors in the medical field are who are black come from HBCUs. 50%
exactly
of the
right.
school teachers who are black come from HBCUs. 40% of the members of Congress come from HBCUs. 33%
right.
of the STEM graduates who are black come from HBCUs. You know, 70% of the judges who are black come from HBCUs. So, like I said, I don't when you come on this show, I didn't graduate from an HBCU, but I'm an advocate of HBCU. So
I hear you.
When I bring a Dr. Mark Brown on the show, you know, that's why I was trying to hunt him down, because he didn't know who I was. He didn't know he had an advocate here. He didn't know he had a bullhorn.
Yeah.
And that bullhorn is important. So the information he's telling us on the show today gets out.
That's right. That's right. And you are so right. Now, all those statistics that you just called out, isn't that that's a national treasure. That's a national treasure. We would not want to lose the ability of these schools to be able to do this. And that has a lot to do with why Robert founded the Student Freedom Initiative. He didn't just stop at Morehouse.
Right.
His vision was far big, far greater than that. He
right.
said, no, we have to do something for all of our HBCUs so that when a student leaves school, ready to take off with that new degree in their hand, that they aren't being held down by crushing debt. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
You know, let's say that one student goes to Tougaloo College. Another student goes to Brown University. One student has to get a Parent PLUS loan 4 years in a row to close the cost of their college. The other student gets an endowed scholarship from the endowment of let's say it's Brown University. Well, we added up the endowments of all of our HBCUs, and we compared them to the smallest endowment at an Ivy League school, and the numbers are significantly different, right? If we added up all of the endowments, you wouldn't get $2.1 billion. And if you added up just one endowment at an Ivy League school, you could get that much. So, but these students could be equally smart. They could be equally sharp on their academics. They could both be chemical engineers. One graduates and invests their money, and they grow wealth. The other graduates and they spend a good percentage, 20, 30, 40% of their money servicing the debt they had to take on to get out of college. That creates what we call the wealth gap in America. The wealth gap in America starts right there and has nothing to do with talent, because both of these students were equally talented. It had to go with their position of where they started from. And so to get to that wealth gap, what we're saying is we want to reduce the amount of debt that student has to pay coming out of college. And we offer programs to do that, and that's the whole purpose.
Really, because those endowments are the key change. You know, the information that's out there, you know, some stuff you can Google, some things you do research. For instance, when he was talking about endowments, we don't even have to go to Ivy League. We don't have to go there.
Right.
Let's just choose the University of Nebraska. We're not University of football power, maybe a basketball
right.
power.
Right.
You know, their endowment at the University of Nebraska is $1.7 billion.
That's right.
That's the endowment.
That's right.
Howard University has the largest endowment, $700 million.
That's right. And if that's the greatest endowment amongst HBCUs, Where do you think the rest of those 101 fall?
Yeah.
Their numbers are significantly lower. We have to build up their endowments. We have a plan for that. Let me tell you this really quick plan, part of it.
No, take your time, Dr. Brown. You're on my show. Okay, take your time. Don't have to do anything quick on this show. We're talking about uplifting young people, educating parents, and letting other people who are alums, letting them know the tide is turning.
That's right. That's right. So what we say is for STEM students, science, technology, engineering, mathematics student, or a student getting a STEM certification in some other major, if that student is making satisfactory academic progress and they're in their rising junior, senior year, then we say don't take the Parent PLUS loan. We'll give you up to $20,000 in your junior year and up to $20,000 in your senior year for valid academic costs in what we call an income contingent agreement. And here's how this thing works. First of all, we don't require your parents to be indebted to do it, because we believe that that's a problem, right? Parents are at their home buying stage, and they don't need these large debts on their credit records. So what we say is, if you take an income contingent agreement, we will fund it based on the fact that we believe in the future you're going to be successful, and you don't have to be indebted at the moment with your parents. So the way that works is you take up to $20,000 if you're a junior, senior in one of these categories,
mm-hmm.
and when you graduate, if you decide to go into like public service, like you're going to be a teacher or you're going to be a policeman or something like that, if you decide to do one of these jobs and you're not making more than 300% of the federal poverty level, which would be about $48,000, $50,000 if we use today's numbers, then you don't pay us back during that period. If you decide that you're going to leave Tuskegee and go to law school at Howard or go to law school at Cornell, you don't pay us back while you're in that law school. Let's say that you decide to go to DuPont, you're going to make $90,000 a year. We're going to be 2.5% of your income for every $10,000 you took out. So if you took out $10,000, it'll be 2.5% of your income. But you don't pay us back. We're a nonprofit. You pay into what we call the Student Freedom Fund. We grow that Student Freedom Fund through philanthropy, access to low-interest capital, and it reaches the point of about $500 million, and then it revolves around and funds itself by payments coming back and by philanthropy. And what we tell all of the schools that are a part of our organization, we have 63 schools in our organization today, what we tell them is you use that fund as your collective endowment, your endowment without walls, and you don't send those students back to the Parent PLUS loan system. You send them to this fund, and therefore we fund ourselves. Does that make sense? We build our own collective endowment, which allows us to keep students out of what we believe is a debt trap. Loans like the Parent PLUS loan, and there's some commercial private loans that do the same thing, and put them in one where if they do pay it back, they're paying it back into their own endowment.
Well, I think I hear this really clear. And this is what schools, especially HBCUs, have been complaining about, graduates investing back into schools and helping build the endowment. And so what you're right. saying, if I'm hearing this correctly, Rashawn, we're going to help you get through school, okay, if you qualify.
That's right.
And then when you, but we don't want the money back. The nonprofit don't want the money back. We want you to take that money because now you're successful.
That's right.
As you pay it back, we want you to pay it back in the endowment, and that becomes a pay it forward opportunity. Because that's what's really hurting HBCUs, because of the fact that all these individuals graduate, they may be, and I'm not saying anything negative to anybody, but I'm just talking about the facts of why endowment opportunities aren't growing at various HBCUs. When I say that the one may call Howard the most prestigious college and most well-known HBCU out there, and they're only at $700 million, as an endowment, we have a problem.
Have a problem. It's an inequity, and it's a gap, and it leads to an income gap as well because of how you have to pay back these loans. So everything that we do through an economic lens, I'll give you another example. Most of our HBCUs, as you know, I've heard you cite the history here. A lot of them are land-grant universities, right? They mm-hmm. came around 1881. They were given land, right? And this was, everybody wanted them to have land because they wanted segregation. They didn't want them going to college with others. So they were given plots of land. Our ancestors built these schools. They now have lots of land. In fact, they are what I would call, in many cases, land rich and cash poor. But they have challenges with infrastructure, buildings, maintenance because of the things that are old. And do they take on long-term debt to repair those things, making themselves still attractive to students? Or what do they do? We have a program with a company called Steinbridge that we can talk about now.
Okay, let's hold that thought for the break. I'm going to go to the break. I want to bring that back because I still want to get more clarity, let everybody know how that program worked, the payback program, because they really need to hear that. Because also, you have another nice program if you get your job in an underserved community, because he didn't bring that up. When we come back, you're going to hear that's another outstanding program. They're doing it right at the Student Freedom Initiative. Don't go nowhere. Talking to Dr. Mark Brown. You're listening to the host, Rashawn McDonald.
We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rashawn McDonald. Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald.
Welcome back to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm interviewing the President and Chief Executive Officer of Student Freedom Initiative, Dr. Mark Brown. Now, Dr. Mark Brown, as we were closing out the interview, you're about to bring up the Steinbridge. But before we go into detail there, that also is about if students who take jobs in underserved communities, there's also a benefit that you guys provide as well, correct?
That's correct. If a student decides that they want to teach chemistry, let's say they decide they wanted to teach chemistry in what we would call like a Title I school in a program of a school of low-income students, and their teacher salary only reaches a certain level. If they have a income contingent agreement from us, they don't pay it during that period of time. They don't pay it back. In other words, if they stayed there long enough, it would end up being just eliminated altogether. But while they are there and while their income is at that level, they are not required to pay us. And the reason being is we understand, right? We understand that that is a public service. Where it's for the greater good, and the person at the time is not in the position to make those payments, and that's why it's income contingent. In other words, we are valuing the service that they're going to go during that time, and not strapping them with that additional debt.
Which is really important because of the fact that you get the person who's giving back by serving the community that normally doesn't get talent like them, who have academic success in these communities. And if we don't straighten up our communities ourselves, then there won't be a community to fix. And that's right now.
And we know the value of teachers, for example.
Absolutely.
We know the value of teachers of color in these communities that are talented. And it makes perfect sense for the nation. It makes perfect sense for everybody.
Cool. And I want
to incentivize them to go do those things.
And I want to bring up a little levity, a little uplift, the Different World, the NBC show. Was doing the HBCU tour. They were recently on the campus of Clark. I think they kicked it off on the campus of Clark Atlanta University. Student Fund Initiative is tied to that, correct?
That's right. We're partnered with them as well as Cisco and others, where we are bringing back, and depending on your time frame, many people were introduced to HBCU life through It's a Different World.
Mm-hmm.
Many people saw this life for the first time. And now, while we want to encourage enrollment to go up, we want to encourage philanthropy to go up, we want to encourage investment to go up. Because of that, we're on a tour with the characters, the original characters, on A Different World. And they are visiting.
You're talking about Jasmine Guy. You're talking about Daryl Bell. That's my boy. You're talking about Kadeem.
Right.
I know they zoomed in Sinbad at the session. It's all your favorites are going to be there. It really was. I went to it. It was packed. And so a lot of love. It was a lot of love. And so I know they have an event coming up next month on the campus of Howard University. So if you're in the area, I know I got a lot of listeners in the D.C. area. A Different World tour will be, HBCU tour, will be on the campus of Howard University. It's being funded, an additional asset that you guys are bringing to the table by the Student Fund Initiative. Freedom Fund Initiative. And so
that's exactly right.
And so when we look at all these things that you guys are trying to do, what is the vision? Before we get to Steinbridge, what is the vision?
Can I just add to you that, just so your viewers will know, it's April 9th.
Okay, April 9th.
At Howard.
Mm-hmm.
It's April 9th at Howard. And in the fall, we'll be down in Montgomery doing it with Alabama State and Tuskegee as well.
Okay, you know you had to get down to Tuskegee now. The CEO and president, you know, you've been thrown out of Tuskegee if the tour didn't come down. That probably was the first one booked. Hey, we got to go down to Tuskegee. I got all that other. I got Howard, I got Clark, but you got to make it down to my school,
yeah.
Okay?
And I do want to make sure I say that Cisco and Wells Fargo,
mm-hmm,
are all combining with us, as well as Student Freedom Initiative. We are all partners in trying to bring this to our HBCU campus and reawakening that spirit and that spirit and experience that we all love so much that you can find uniquely on an HBCU.
You know, one of the driving things that when I think about HBCUs is, and one of the things why I'm an advocate, because I have a special gift, I feel, in marketing and branding. And I always feel that, you know, I've used it to build a lot of careers, sold a lot of products for Fortune 500 companies. And that's one of my missions, you know, to take my gifts and allow individuals like you a platform like this, where it's a very honest, open, and a highly successful platform where you can, like, come on here. And so just always know, Dr. Brown, this is your home. This is your voice. This is advocacy. I broadcast on an HBCU campus. And so it's a place where you can grow your message.
Well, we appreciate that. We need our voice to get out there, and we appreciate platforms like yours where we're allowed to speak freely about these matters that are so important to us, and we believe important to everyone.
Well, you know, one of the things that has always been a talk is about new housing around HBCU campuses. And let's talk about, now we're going to slide over to the Steinbridge Group. Tell us about that.
So, as I was saying earlier, we took a survey, did a study of about 58 HBCU presidents. And one of the questions that we asked those presidents, what's your number one concern? And more times than not, they said infrastructure, aging infrastructure, facilities. In other words, bringing their beautiful campuses up to par with others. And the challenge is, to do that, sometimes you have to take on long-term debt at the university, which is not good for the university. So This vision that we're talking about with Steinbridge is what we would call kind of impact investing. So if you're in, and I'll use Virginia Union as our first example. So they own property outside of the actual campus property. They own property, and they also have a housing shortage. Their ability to recruit premier faculty and folks like that who want to live where they work, and this is in the Richmond area, is really dependent on affordable housing. And we know that affordable housing is a challenge across the country. So Steinbridge provides the capital to build the affordable housing, and the university then leases the land to Steinbridge. So what has happened, what's different about that? Instead of the university going and getting a loan and making loan payments each month to get this, what we would call a capital asset that's needed, they get the capital asset and they turn that land into revenue generating land. So not only do they now have a place, or they will when these houses are built, for their faculty and others to live in affordable housing, they also have revenue coming in to their school. And where does that revenue go, or where can it go? That revenue can go into the same thing that we just got to talk about, which is the endowment of the school, to continue to grow the endowment. And at the same time, they get the benefit of having affordable housing. We're taking that model across the country to various schools. There are two versions of it. One is with Steinbridge, which is the housing for faculty and others that is right outside the campus, but perhaps the land is owned by the campus. The other is to take a dormitory facility or living space on campus and do the same thing and lease the land, but then get a new dormitory for the students that's modern and allow the school to get payments into their fund from that lease. This new model is exciting, I think. We've had a convening with many universities. Many are going in, giving us their data. When it's economically feasible, we're going to look to do it. And a lot of schools will be able to now get their capital asset without going into long-term debt.
Wow. Very powerful. Very understanding about how you're trying to make a difference, how Robert Smith is making a difference with this fund. Again, I want to thank you, Dr. Mark Brown. It was worth the effort. It was worth the wait to get you on the show. And any website we can drive them to, you can tell us about it as we Absolutely. Close out the interview?
Absolutely. To all your viewers, listeners, let me say studentfreedominitiative.org. You go to studentfreedominitiative.org, you can learn about everything that we just talked about today, plus many more that we did not talk about in this series. And I would encourage a couple of things. One, go out to that website. If you have a junior or senior in high school now, let's make an HBCU one of their options. They may have many options, but let's make an HBCU at least one of their options, because there we know what? They'll be loved, taken care of, and we know they'll be, and they will do what many schools do not do. They'll create the social and economic mobility for that student that we know that will be generationally different for them and their families as they go out and do great things in the country.
Dr. Mark Brown, thank you for coming on Money Making Conversation Masterclass.
It's great talking to you. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it. Again, thank you for listening to my show every week. Again, I'll be back next week. And in closing, keep winning and always leave with your gifts.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald is produced by 3815 Media Inc. More information about 3815 Media Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.